Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you. And joining me on this encouraging journey is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Also, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I'm going to give a shout out to all of our listeners, all of our new members that joined the audience, the virtual audience. Welcome to VFN Radio. I want to welcome John and Joan and Larry and Wayne and Rocky. Welcome Rocky and Maya and Jimmy and Joan and Kathy, Stephen, Anita, Sylvia, Paul, Les, Mary, Kurt, and so many that are joining us. We're so glad to have you amongst all of the VFN Radio virtual audience. We are here to encourage you, to inspire you, and to give you hope. Give a shout out to Iowa. Iowa for Jesus. Give a shout out to all of the Saints fans out there. A miracle on 42nd Street. A bad call? They'll take it.
Whatever it takes.
Ruthless. Ruthless. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh my goodness. You know, I was just thinking about the insanity taking place in New Jersey with Eddie. I'm hoping I can hear something really soon, Eddie. What's up? I got to be honest with you, man. I was walking past the scale this morning, and I was feeling so good. I mean, I was feeling so good. I was like, you know, all chipper, and I was just limping through. The day was bright, the air was crisp, and I looked at the scale, and I thought, why ruin my day?
I do have a report from Eddie. He said to let you know that he has lost 4 pounds.
Congratulations, man. I think
I was
found
searching. I was trying to find. I said, are you 4? You no.
No, that's good. Hey, 4 is, if you look at what a pound looks like, it encourages you. Oh, imagine a coffee cup, one 8-ounce coffee cup, the size of it with no handle. Mm. And that's about the size of a pound of fat. Mm. And we don't sell it. What happens if you celebrate each, it's like a softball. Imagine a softball. That's about the size of it. And so we don't sometimes get victories. And he's like lost 4 softballs.
Wow.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I've gained a few softballs.
You found it back, didn't you? You used to say you found some of it back.
I wasn't looking for a witness.
Hey, helping you out, man. To help you stay motivated.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I am like, yes. Well, you know, I was really concerned. I noticed that UPS, Federal Express, Amazon.com, all of them, and they understand that if you want something that's precious and something that's valuable to you, you need to pack it in peanuts. You know, you got to put padding around it to make sure it's safe. So I am so safe. If things were to happen, earthquakes or whatever, you know, I may bounce around a little bit, but I'll come out on the safe side if you just unwrap me and remove all the bubble wrap. Oh, my goodness. You'll find the ab.
The ab.
Well, you know, I was thinking about technology this morning. You know, it's just so much technology. It's so frustrated with it. And everybody's just connected to their computers and to their mobile devices and their mobile phones. You know, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it's just the little dots are following us around everywhere. It's just amazing. So when I got up this morning at the sound of my iPhone saying, wake up. Wake up. Birds tweeting and waterfalls going. I thought, this stuff ain't bad. It says, wake up. Wake up. It's time to wake up. And little birds tweet. Oh, same wow. way every morning. It's like a perfect tweet. It's a digital tweet.
Right.
And waterfall's going. And
I got to get that alarm. Mine doesn't sound as nice.
Well, yeah. Well, it 99 cents. Everything's 99 cents. Talking about the 99 cents store, today's technology. And you invent it once and sell it over and over again for 99 cents.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. And it wakes up and I thought, well, you know, it couldn't be that bad. And of course, then I realized I moved to the sound of tones. Like I'm in this one appointment and then you hear a tone and then I just moved. And the technology says, okay, it's time for the next appointment. Doom. It's time for this. It's time for that. I was like, oh my goodness. I wonder how people remembered in the past.
Yeah.
But then I realized as I look back and studied, allegedly, John, that the information that crosses our lives in one day, mm-hmm. all the data and information in one day that our great grandfathers, that much didn't cross them in their entire lifetime.
Mm. That's amazing.
They kept books on pieces of paper, their ledgers, the bank ledgers. You would go and they would write down, okay, Baba Joe, he took $5 out of the bank and Suzanne deposited 26, and they would write it down. The guy with bifocals, you know, the little focal glasses, and mm-hmm. he'd write it down. He'd close the thing up and he'd lock it in some big safe somewhere.
Mm.
And bank robbers, you know, sometimes would come in and they would steal the book and they'd steal the cash.
Mm-hmm.
We can't think about it. There's no more grid for that. And I tell you, man, I say, you know, that's just, if we could just go back there and live in that arena. But we just happen to be living in this generation. But there is a time when you could just enjoy the sunrise. You go back and, you know, plow your fields, slop your hogs, milk your cows, go down and have some biscuits and some freshly cut bacon and we had to pull the hair out of the milk because it's real fresh.
There's a lot of work behind all that bacon and the milk.
But it's good work. You know, there's nothing like, I'm telling you, there's nothing like, you know, normal work where you're laboring and stuff today. But it seems all that kind of labor is going east.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to India. It's going to China. And to survive in this economy where we're going, you're not going to be able to be a laborer in that context of that.
Mm-mm.
No, I mean, you could say, I'm going to be a laborer. It's like, and dude, if you're not going to do it in Mandarin, if you're not going to do it,
yeah, right.
You know,
right.
In India, it's just not going to work. You're going to have to move mm-hmm. because the labor's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have all the union protests you won't do, but it's going to be like, it's all going to move towards the lowest common pay for the particular product. And so then you have to actually get more knowledge and more skill on how to do things and manage multiple things. And it looks like the virtual market's here to stay. I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. I mean, it's the fulfillment of prophecy.
Yeah.
That's what, mm-hmm. you know, we thought at one time there's no way that how can everybody see the Lord return? How could everybody see two prophets fall dead and prophesy in Jerusalem? It's like, I was just looking at Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right.
You know, talking about an earthquake, by the way. Supposedly they're preparing for a possible earthquake coming to Israel.
Wow.
Mm. Sounds like another God momentous occasion about to happen with all this
right.
To show himself mighty to the world and to Israel. And it's very possible. I mean, you can mm-hmm. you can watch an intersection in Beijing, China as traffic goes through the intersection.
Right.
And somebody pushes a button and they crosswalk and they go across. I guess it said walk. I don't know. It just said, I don't know what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Konnichiwa. That's Japan. Anyway, so You can see so much stuff, and it's just like, I'm tired of information. I don't want to know, how do we cut this down? How do we, and we've got to find the place to what matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage you this morning as we're in this conversation that we've been in to don't be overwhelmed by all the data, all the information, you know, speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
Force it to be in compliance to how you want to receive it. And if more comes your way than you can take in, you know, trust God with all of it, including what you're taking in, but just let it go like water's off a duck's back.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that you can take over a people is to inundate them with information and just pound them so much. And in there somewhere in the midst of an entire 2-hour speech, you go, and I'm going to kill you. I mean, you can put that in there, and the people don't even hear it because they're like, yada, yada, like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, mm-hmm. wah, 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 wah. And you got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the terms of agreement we talked about with the beast economy. Click through, right. You know, accept.
What did I just accept?
Yeah, well, I don't think the people's even asking that. But if you are abiding with God, if you're hanging out with the Lord, he'll hang out with you, and you listen to him and hide his word in your heart, then you don't have to worry about all this information. Don't mm-hmm. take too much of it in. Mm-hmm. Take in what God is telling you and what is digestible for you. And that's why we have VFN Radio, to be able to give you more of a balanced. Somebody says, well, why would you talk about disaster? And the next thing you do, you're talking about something funny. Because the Lord says, I'll laugh at your destruction. It's not, we win. We're not mm-hmm. trying to, we already are coming from a place of success. We're not working for mm-hmm. a place of success. I mean, if someone takes my life, I win.
That's right.
Right.
And that's just it. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so what we feel is that, hey, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for God.
That's right.
That's right.
And so in this conversation that we're having is to encourage you to realize, you know, I need to find out what matters most. And I want to begin to bring on VFN Radio for you what we call value-based vision management, vision moments, to begin to just to force the events of your life. Because time management is not about time, but people focus on time. It's 8 o'clock, I got to do this. It's 10 o'clock, I got to do this. It's 12 o'clock, I got to do this. And they go, there's just not enough hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's so ridiculous because nothing's based off hours. Truly, time management is not about managing time. It's about managing the events in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's event management.
All right.
So then you have to determine, but when you go back and you remember, well, these sane ones are this way. When you go back and look in history, you go, wow, that was a wonderful gathering that we had. Wasn't that a wonderful conference? And do you remember, do you remember what so-and-so said? Now, maybe a melancholy person always go, do you remember 8:05? When so-and-so got up to speak, you know? But we can't, we're not. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It didn't bother us either way.
Not at all.
So do you have any context, like an event that happened, you know, time business is not getting it. And so, but we remember things by events. Mm. You remember first grade, you remember second, well, some of us remember first grade. As one kid says, you know, I thought I was the smartest kid in my second grade class. I was the only one with my driver's license. But thank God for the new system. They pass you whether you know anything or not.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
In some schools. But it's about event management. And this is such a, I'm telling you, if you understand this, your life is going to be so much more peaceful because you can only do one event at a time. You may think you can do more than one event at a time, but you can only do one event at a time. Well, now you can do a whole thing's halfway, but to think about it though, if you do this event well and you finish it up, then you can do the next event well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to do everything at the same time, not only are you not doing them well, but people around you feel like they are in well. You know what I mean? Not with a W, that it's really stressful to them. It's chaotic and chaos and frustration, and they're sensing your frustration because you're always living in dread and regret. You're regretting what you didn't do or did do yesterday, and you're dreading what happens tomorrow, never living in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Go tell them that I am. So we got to learn how to live in the now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And one way God does that, he does it through wisdom, telling us how to take what the knowledge and everything that's happening in life and does it through wisdom. And wisdom is the proper application of what we know. It's not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news you know.
Mm-hmm.
God's news behind the news and the events of your life. And so now, so you have, okay, well, I'll just take an event. I'll just take this event, and then I'll take that event. But the problem is, most low priority, non-important events, such as checking your email or reading something that's insignificant, they end up taking up your entire day. And you say, well, I've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like somebody says, you know, I spent my whole paycheck and I don't know where it went.
Right.
And you say, how could you not know where your whole paycheck went. Well, it's because I didn't pay attention.
Right.
Whatever showed up, I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so a lot of people live their lives that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't say, I need to budget my finances and I need to budget my time.
Mm-hmm.
And as life goes on, listen, you may know this if time's already going on for you, that you determine things, what you do based on your energy. You know, just because you got a lot of energy right now don't mean I have a lot of energy. Our energy is going to have to meet somewhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we have to determine then if all these events are taking place, I need to find out what matters most in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man jumps out of bed or a woman jumps out of bed in the morning at the sound of their new little iPhone alarm and they look at the clock time and they go, oh my goodness, I don't have time. Well, you never had time. Time was something you observed. You actually never had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump up and say, I don't have time to, and you fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, based on statistics and what George Barna is saying, what people are saying, I don't have time to read the Word of God. I don't have time to abide with God. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to pray.
Right.
I pray in the shower. Right.
Mm.
I pray in the shower. I pray in the car on the way to work, which is good to pray all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decided to watch, you know, Captain Kangaroo in the morning or you know, Today Show, et cetera, same thing.
Right.
That
same
instead of
Sesame Street.
It's Sesame Street.
Not an unofficial plug, right?
Not an official plug, allegedly. The did I say allegedly? Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. And so that you got to find out what matters most. And so if you didn't know that, you would actually leave your day. And this is what a lot of the church is doing. They're leaving their homes that God gave them, driving in cars God gave them, with tanks filled with gas that God gave them the money to get, not naked because God gave them the clothes they're wearing on the back, to go to a job that God gave them, only to begin their entire event called that day, ignoring him and not acknowledging him. Because they didn't understand that he's the one that gives increase. He's the one that kept you.
Wow.
He's the one that keeps us. And so what matters most is spend some time with the one who gave you the stuff, honey. Spend some time, sir, with, you know, you're trying to put everything together and you're trying to make things happen and you're so stressed out. Listen, let God, credit God for what he's doing in your life.
That's right.
And one way you do that, we talk about that quite often, is honor God. Honor God with your first fruits, but first fruits of your day as well. You know, spend some time. Jesus met with the Father first thing and alone with God.
Right.
Yeah, if it would have brought Peter, Peter wouldn't stop talking. So I'm sure he's like, y'all stay here. Peter, like, I got another idea. It's like, Peter, pumpkin eater, right? So anyway, so here we are. How many people are starting their days that God gave them, he gave us the day, and didn't even cross their mind. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
That is
very
just,
wild.
But it's a real thing.
You know, you're talking about vision earlier, and I had a chance, I was in Brooklyn over the weekend, and walked a little bit on the Brooklyn Bridge. I didn't realize this, but the guy who actually put together the Brooklyn Bridge is very interesting. He actually suffered and got his leg amputated, got crushed by a boat. Well, would you believe that this whole construction of this bridge over many, many years, a lot of people died, a lot of people risked their lives just to get this bridge across that connects Manhattan to Brooklyn. His wife was so in tune with his vision, and his vision was so clear that he was able to communicate the vision of how he wanted this bridge built, and she would communicate it to the engineers. He never left his bed, Pat.
Wow.
And he was able to communicate with her. She was able to study the vision. She was able to learn some things about mathematics, and she was able to communicate with the engineers. And he never crossed the bridge. In fact, she was the first person to cross the bridge. But he wanted to make sure that he was able to complete what he started.
Mm-hmm.
But it all started with a vision. At that time, I think it was the largest bridge, freestanding bridge ever made. I know with cables and stuff like that.
Right.
But it was pretty amazing. And that's the power of vision. That's the power of knowing what it is that you're going to accomplish and be able to manage that vision. It was so powerful that he was able to not even be on site. Can you imagine someone today trying to build anything and not being on site?
No, I couldn't.
And this is the engineer, and he's able to communicate with his wife, and she's able to communicate with others. It's really amazing. And wow. So it's interesting we're talking about all of this because it just takes that. It takes you to be able to have a vision, and you can only manage a vision. You can't manage time.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, what matters most in your time management, you have to find out, you know, what matters most. As a believer, as the one who says that I'm without you, God, it's not going to be good. I've got, I need forgiveness of my sins, and I need a Savior. I need a Lord, and you're the Lord of my life. Then my number one priority, number one event in my life is going to be to acknowledge God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To relate to him. We call that abiding. If you don't abide and you need a plan, we have one at iabide.org. Request it free today. But I'm reading George Barna, and we're going to read more of this a little bit later on. But George Barna's book called Worn Out on Church Revolution, Finding Vibrant Faith Beyond the Walls of the Sanctuary. And he writes about the condition of the church, which we'll talk more about rethinking church in a little bit. But he says in regard to worship, he says the biweekly attendance at worship service is by believers on admission generally the only time they worship God. The bi-weekly, which is twice a month, right? Which is 26 times a month, John Paul.
Wow.
A year.
26 times, yeah, right?
That would be great, 26 times a month.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah. So 26 times a year, by golly, I worship God.
Wow.
But wait a minute. And then he says, you know, 8 out of every 10, which is 80%, 8 out of every 10 believers do not feel they have entered into the presence of God or experienced a connection with him during that time of worship. So now 26 times they did worship, 80% did not even experience him. And it's like, what are we doing in regards to our priorities? We're running our life, we're being so busy, and we're like the person who didn't set a budget for their finances. And at the end of our life, somebody's going to ask you the question, where did it all go? Where did you spend it? And the thing about it is you did this gift that God's given us, you have to manage it.
That's right.
You have to be a good steward of it. Not just money, the time that you have and what you do with it, because we're going to have to give an account. Listen, not only are we going to have to give account for the time that he gave us, we're going to have to give an account for everything we did, every deed that we did. People tell you there's a gospel being preached that, you know, that you're not going to have to account for that. But the problem that negates that is the words of Christ.
One small problem. One itty bitty thing here.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm with you in that. The fact that I abide and read the word, it contradicts what you're saying. And you need to quit saying that and lead people to the word at least. And then not only do you have to account for your time, but you have to account for every word that you've ever spoken. Oh, my goodness. I mean, have you ever said some things that you regret?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll just pass it to you, Pat. What were those things?
We're all listening.
Anyway, so it's like, oh, my goodness. So if I said those things that I regret, I'm going to take it to the cross and say, Lord, forgive me for that. And that's where I'm going to give account for it. I acknowledge it was wrong, and I'm going to make it right at the cross. But then, truly making it right is begin to say words that are right.
Correct.
Not just going every day and going, oh, forgive me for, you know, chewing my boss out in my heart or head. You know, forgive me for having these thoughts against my spouse or my parent or my...
I like those repents. Forgive me if I did not.
Yeah, right, if. Yeah.
Did you just back out of that repentance?
Yeah, the if prayers.
Okay. I'll give you if forgiveness, right?
Yeah, God's going like, if you'll actually acknowledge it, I will. And yeah, it's like, people's like, you think about it. God already knows already. Just spell it out.
Exactly.
But true repentance then is that the words that we're using that we're going to have, we say, you know, and I've had to go quite often, you know, Lord, please forgive Pat for those words. Lord, please forgive me for those words. I've done that. I had to do that. I mean, anyway, We won't get on that. We won't talk about that. But don't waste your time trying to collect words you spoke. Just regret them, repent for them, and move on. You can't take them back.
Nope. It'd be nice. That's right. It didn't work.
Did I tell y'all? Never mind. And so, but if we have to give account for our deeds, so we have to give an account for our words, don't you understand? We're going to have to give account for our life. What do we do with this life that he's given us?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you flatter me with your lips, but you deny me with your hearts, with your actions, with your deeds. And we're known by our fruit, what we do, not what we say. We're not known by our gifts. And so I want to encourage you to begin to think about, you know, what's valuable to you. Things are going to pick up. I really believe they're going to double, they're going to triple, and they're going to quadruple. And you're going to have this massive treadmill of events and data. And it's just going to come in. You're going to look like O's and ones are just going through, like the national debt's clicking off in your experience. But you can find peace in the midst of that if you took this thing called a gift that God's given you and us, time, mm-hmm. and force it to be in compliance by God's wisdom and begin to manage this thing so you can force it to be in compliance with the destiny God has given you. That's He's right. given you a destiny, but your destiny does not slap you upside the face. You have to grab it and force it to be in compliance with your vapor, your time that you have. And so many people are waiting for something to happen, and God says, no, I'll bless the work of your hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll bless you when you move in my wisdom. I'll bless you when you believe me and trust me with all this information that you think you got to have. You don't have to. You can let all that go and focus on what matters most, and I will take even the birds of the air. They don't worry about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you think about it, you have one life to live, just one, just one. And if you don't seize the moment, you know, there's a quote that says, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. Well, life is that opportunity. You know, some wisdom, I had a chance to speak with some folks throughout the years that have lived a whole lot longer. And just to hear some of the things that they have had to say about the things they've regretted doing and not doing because they squandered their time. You can learn a lot of wisdom from a lot of people out there.
Well, you had to go talk to somebody? You didn't have your own? I have my own.
I have my own, too. But it's interesting. You know, you look at that and you say, wow, you know, I want to seize the moment. I want to make sure that I do all that I can do for God, for what he's called me to do in the time that I have to do it. And that's what we're talking about here today. I mean, it's very, very encouraging because that's at the end, there's going to be a time where you're not going to have the energy or you may not even have the help.
Right. And Jesus told Peter plain as day, he says, listen, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And so Peter goes, well, what about him? What's he going to do? And I'm sorry, he's pointing at John.
Yeah.
And John's going, I'm the one he loves.
The most.
The most. Right. I used to think, that's so touching. That is so touching. Then I realized, well, John, you wrote this.
Yeah,
you wrote this, John. And I'm not talking about John Paul. I'm talking about the gospel, the disciple John. And so Jesus looks at Peter and he says, there's going to come a day when someone's going to lead you around by your hand. It doesn't always, you don't always have all this energy and all this time. And I know it's hard to comprehend. I mean, if you're young, you're probably thinking, well, if the Lord comes back today, I have all this life to live and this type of stuff. It says, hold on, honey. It'll change.
That's right.
It'll change. And so there comes a time when it's just, you basically have been poured out like a drink offering and you can share the wisdom of your life. You can pour into other people's life like Elijah did, but you're not, you know, you can't make it to the top of Mount Carmel to call the fire. Can somebody wheel me up to the top of Mount Carmel? You know, put your teeth in like, we're going to call it for another day. I mean, there comes a time you just can't do that. So you only have a limited amount of time to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll spend eternity talking about what we did. And if we spend our life, our time, this thing that God's given us outside of our value system, and we'll be talking about that by God's grace at least once a week to encourage you in your life and your family and your business to understand that you can manage this thing called life and you have to do it based on your core values. You're going to have to find out and tap into what is your core values. We've had people that we've worked with over the years that, you know, their core value, one of their core values was food. That was her food. That was food. It's like,
yeah.
Well, you understand this is not going to end well for you. If food is your core value, I mean, you know, she was probably being very honest, or he, whoever it was, being very honest. And that's good. We don't want to be politically correct in regards to this is what our core values are supposed to be. I mean, if your core value is food, and it could be money, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but you need to really discover what your core values are. And as a believer, our number one value has to be, by the way, God. God can't be your number two value.
Imagine that.
If he's your number two value, then whatever is your number one value is your God.
That's right.
He says, make for yourself no graven images, no other gods, right, before him. Mm-hmm. And if you have him at number two, then whatever you put at number one is your God.
That's right.
So a lot of times people are putting God at three or four, and they're saying, he's in there somewhere. He's in there twice a month where I don't get in his presence, but I do sing a song that I really enjoy and tap my feet to. But, you know, 80% of us don't even know that, we don't even counter him. He's like, I'm not showing up. I'm number three on your list, bro. You got other gods, but when you get rid of those two other gods, money, position, spouse, family, house, things, stuff, nation, then if you'll do that, and then I'm going to show up. So I encourage you. We're going to be talking about that. Value-based vision management. So important to think about. I got to force this thing. Life is not about time. Life is about events. And managing time management is about managing the events in your life. We're going to have to grab this because it's just coming at us like a whirlwind. Events are just hitting us left and right. And that's the way to confuse us and cause us to get real busy with something that's insignificant, to move God from a first priority to a fifth priority and not even know it. And to end up, our entire nation falls because all of a sudden we said that it's more important to have America than to have God. Mm-hmm. It's more important to have a dollar that's valuable than to have God. It's more important to be able to have a nation than to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord over this nation, that God is the God of our nation. We're moving him down. We got to begin to say, whoa, what matters most? We'll be talking about value-based vision management. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Steve, Pat, I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. Right. Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling, because it just doesn't make sense, Maybe you don't know where to start. I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible, because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial. Mm. It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build something. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on, one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what does the level do? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because, I don't know, apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now. And you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. My goodness, if you missed the first part of this hour, understanding that all this information that's coming at us, you can make sense of it. God has given us wisdom, and we're going to have a value-based, we're going to have vision moments to be able to help you make sense, to get vision, to get the ability to walk by faith and not by what you're seeing. And no matter what happens, you can walk upon top of your situations and be productive. Be productive. The adversary will want to do is get you busy, and you'll be busy and not fruitful. And there's nothing worse than to work real hard and at the end of the day not have a paycheck for it because you didn't work wisely in the context of it. Mm-hmm. You weren't working it right. And so with that, we want to have fruit in our life because we're known by our fruit and the fruit that we have.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just want to encourage you with that today. And so be looking for those vision segments that come out. And but I don't know, did you hear about the shooting that took place up in Wisconsin this weekend?
No,
man, there was a shooting in Wisconsin. A man walked into a salon, allegedly, you know, according to CBS News, in Wisconsin shooting took place with a subject named Ratcliffe. And he shot himself afterwards, but he went in there and he's accused of firing up a salon where his wife worked, and he killed 3 women and wounded 4 others, and they found him dead, you know, when they were going through all the process there and everything. But the shootings that are taking place, I know that you know, Steve was just telling me that he was talking to your brother. You know, he's an officer, and Adam says almost every single night in his city there's gun incidences, you know, every night. And it's not a normal city that would have that. And a friend of mine is the chief of police, and he has this huge responsibility that's coming upon him, that only the wisdom of God and the grace of God is going to be able to give our leaders the wisdom they need to be able to deal with what's going on. and understand we need to pray for those in authority over us. We need to pray for our sheriffs and pray for our chief of police and, you know, pray for our officers. Listen, don't think negatively about your police officers and your deputy sheriffs. Understand, if it wasn't for them standing in the gap for you, that the crime would be in your windows and in your doors, and that's right. They would take your stuff. Instead of, you know, worrying about a police officer writing you a speeding ticket or something, begin to just be nice to them and encourage them. And even if they're not, you know, their best to you, their job is hard. And everybody's had a bad day. Everybody's had a bad day. The difference is when you have a bad day and you're a police officer, you have a gun on your side.
Yeah.
And it looks different. But I've seen everybody have a bad day. I remember, for those who don't know, I used to be in law enforcement, and I took some sinus medicine.
Ooh.
I took some sinus medicine. I was working on an island that time, and at nighttime, the island would get real wild. There's plenty of opportunities for people to go to jail. But everybody doesn't have to go to jail. But this was the sinus medicine.
But you can't get a chance, right?
I took this sinus medicine, and my nerves were, like, racked. I was on the edge.
Yeah.
And I was on duty. Not a good combination.
All right. That's poor people.
All right, man. Put the walker down. You're going in.
Are you speeding with that scooter again?
But I didn't. I knew I was always tried to be a person of mercy and grace. And if you're going to jail, I'd always still be nice to you because, like, you're going to jail.
What can
I add to that? So how are you doing? You want some coffee? You want me to hold it for you while your hands are cuffed behind your back?
Yeah.
Are you holding any Uzis or anything like that? And so I took the sinus medicine, which made me on edge. They don't even make that sinus medicine anymore.
Oh, wow.
And it must have been really bad. And it was just, I realized after about halfway through my shift that I wasn't moving as much mercy as I used to move. You know, as I was cuffing myself and putting myself in the back of my cruiser, I realized something's wrong here. It might be something I'm on. And no, I did not, you know, abuse my authority and put somebody in that didn't go. But quite often, it's at officer's discretion to do or to not do it. And realize that, by the way, it's at their discretion. Mm. So when they're letting you off, it's called mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I was having a bad day. Mm. I was having a bad day. And unlike, you know, some other jobs, you can't say, hey, I'm having a bad day. Can I just go and go home and get some rest and stuff? They go, no, go back out. We're having burglaries. People are shooting people. Go back out. There's like, those combinations are not good.
Mm-mm.
So here you are stressed. Maybe you're having relationship problems. Maybe you have a child that's doing something crazy. Maybe you're in debt like everybody else. You know, maybe, you know, you're not getting the raise that you need. All this, but you're still out there in the midst of all this crime trying to enforce the law. So I encourage you to have some empathy for your law enforcement officers. Let them know that you're for them.
Mm-hmm.
One good way to do that is not to commit crime.
Right.
But even an officer understands that if somebody does commit a crime and they do their time, then I'm not good friends that were criminals. I was always hanging around the ones that we put in jail. They were, you know, there. And they tend to hang around when you lock them up. And like, you're still here. Yeah, 5 to 10, bro. 5 to 10. That empathize with and connect with and relate to. I'll never forget the people that would just invite me in to have dinner with them or give me a glass of water, because most people that you would see, they would send you to difficult times. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the one supposed to go. And I always thought we're like the chronological historians that write down the negative events in life. You know, we show up quite often after the event. Mm-hmm. And we say, tell me what happened, ma'am. I'm Officer Tuesday, Officer Wednesday, just the facts. We'd write it all down, and then they put it away. And but I remember these nice folks that would just. I was just thinking about Mrs. Green, as a matter of fact, Mr. and Mrs. Green. He's gone to be with the Lord. I don't know if she has or not, but her family's as well. Great family, and I was wanting to go see them. It's been years, but they were just so kind to me. I just loved it. Was just this. I would just go and sit in their living room, and they would bring me biscuits or something, and we're talking, and they appreciated what I was doing. I appreciated their relationships. We all worked together to be able to have neighborhood watches and different things of that nature, neighborhood policing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a beautiful thing. You know, Mayberry can come back if we start building relationships with our officers and our officers with our people. As an officer, you can't look at everybody as a dirtbag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's not bad, even though we might do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
That was a momentary spurt in our life, and we're over that. And God has a way of letting officers know bad things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Internal affairs, we'll move on from there. And so I want to encourage you, well, what's coming to America, what's coming to your community is, and one of my big concerns was and is, but I pretty much did what I can do, is that will our officers be protected? Will they stay on the streets? Will they continue to fight? Because they're human beings. That lady behind the badge is a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's a wife. That man behind the badge is somebody's brother, somebody's father. They're human beings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they start experiencing loss, and if we all are, they are. If somebody's breaking into a lot of properties, their property might be getting broken into.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about your kids at school because something crazy is going on at the school, they got kids at the school too.
That's right.
Well, look at what's happening in Detroit. You know, the city of Detroit, bad situation. There's 21% unemployment, which is three times the national average. It's 37% of poverty, and yet the police officers are warning the citizens, we talked about this on the radio last week, to enter Detroit at their own risk. And so they're working very long hours, they're changing their pay, and it's putting them in harm's way because they're required to do more.
Detroit?
Less. Detroit.
Mm. So that's kind of like the future of what happened to Detroit was the auto industry, the business started descending,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
There's probably empty properties all over the place.
Well, exactly what's happening. And even in Camden, New Jersey, they have a budget. Listen to this. They have a budget of $160-some-odd million to run their city. And the police department's $55 million of that budget. Well, they only take in property. They only took in taxes $21 million. And the state has been funding them the rest of the amount. The state can no longer afford to do that. So now the city of Camden.
You want to fund Camden, New Jersey with police.
Hello. It's yeah, like right across Philadelphia. It's like, I mean, it's so much crime down there. So now they're going to a county police force to spread the police all across the county. And it's like, what are you doing? There's not enough funds coming in and you know, there's crime. And it's like, this is, you know, we got to reach out to God here. This is serious.
I was in Tennessee. Sometime this year, probably August.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, our alarm went off on our home, and it was amazing. I was like, oh, my, great. And they call you, and they let you know, hey, the perpetrators, you know, they call you up. And so they called the local sheriff's department to come out,
mm-hmm.
and the officers came out and went through our property, and made sure everything was all right and checked everything for point of entry, any kind of damage. Like sometimes it looks like the place wasn't broken into, but you could see pry marks on the doors or
mm-hmm.
open windows or something of that nature. And they checked everything out and secured everything and gave feedback that everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And left. And we found out that actually lightning had struck the neighborhood and set off everything,
mm-hmm.
including electrical fire in somebody's house. And it was just so nice. It's just so beautiful that the officers were making sure that our property was taken care of. And that's a gift. That's a great gift, a societal gift that God's given us called law and order.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that the officer had to be there to be sent out.
Mm.
And then you had to have a leader to lead the officers that you put in office. And then you had to give the sheriff or the chief of police a budget to be able to pay that officer. And right. that budget was going to come from your wallets.
Mm-hmm.
It's all connected. And then your wallet's going to get money from your job.
Hmm.
And your job's going to be there because the economy's good.
Mm-hmm.
So if the economy crashes, he ain't come to your house.
Mm.
It's all connected. You know, the thigh bone connected to the right. knee bone, hip bone, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, priorities, we're talking about Camden. I didn't realize it was that close to Philadelphia.
Yes.
But this is one way it was explained to us that, you know, for years when economy's going good, crime kind of stays in a particular area. and people have stuff, and so there's stuff around close by, and so mm-hmm. they can sell the stuff close by. But eventually, when there's no stuff because people lose their job and then they have to pawn their stuff or whatever, or their stuff gets stolen, they start working their way out like concentric rings. And so that mm-hmm. crime just begins to migrate out. And still, there's so many people that are blessed in America that never lock their doors, leave their garage door open. It's like, when will you lock your car? Oh, my goodness.
I know it.
Right.
And so
you're going to... sense of security.
A very false sense of security. And when people start hurting, they start looking. And they're not necessarily looking for your TV, but they're looking for the money they got from the TV to put it in the pocket to be able to do what they got to do, whether it's a drug habit, whether it's their rent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at Detroit and you're looking at this crime increasing, I just want to encourage you that appreciate your officers, pray for them. If you see them, you're going to be peculiar. And listen, they're going to think that you may be Looney Tunes because you're going to say something positive to them. Because they're used to hearing negative things. But just let them know, hey, I just want you to know, I understand more and more how important your job is, and I appreciate what you're doing. Mm. And I pray for you. I'm going to pray mm-hmm. for you. And I know it's going to be, you know, you probably go through some difficult times, but the word of God says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
And a peacemaker, if you do the root of that word is somebody, it's a confronter. That mm-hmm. confronts what prevents the peace. A peacemaker is not somebody that's peace at all costs. You have peace when you have power, when you confront. Mm-hmm. And it's like a stop sign brings peace at an intersection because it confronts your speed and tells you to stop. What a peace officer is a confronter. It confronts the criminal element, right. and it brings peace to your community. Without the peace officer, you're going to have chaos. That's what's happened in Afghanistan. That's what's happened in Iran. That's what's happening in these different, like Syria, and it's going to happen in America overnight if we don't understand how everything connects. We want to appreciate those who are in law enforcement because they are the filtration system. They're the ones that are willing to go places that you refuse to acknowledge exist in your community and deal with things that you've never even acknowledged that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you didn't have to. They were just faithful men and women who agree to lay their lives on the line so that we can be safe. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.